Meg.
Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for May 3rd in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is our guide. Welcome to the broadcast. We reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. And we do so, one of the grand keys to help us do so is the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers. One of the great peaceful restorative solutions we still have at our fingertips. Wow, the broadcast has been so busy the last couple of days. I've got 2 days to recap. The recap of Friday starts now. We had our guest on, Mr. Chris Carlson. And we always have a discussion with Chris on Fridays, first hour, discussions of all things liberty. And we had a 1 hour big old debate. Was Donald Trump's presidency a success or a failure? That all depends on how you define success and failure. See, Chris thinks it was a dismal failure. I think it was an incredible success. Now, I know Trump's not perfect. I get it. But understand, ladies and gentlemen, that Donald Trump moved the needle on waking Americans up to how abusive and hostile and manipulative the media really is. Donald Trump stood for pro-life. Donald Trump put some pretty good people on the Supreme Court. Now, it hasn't panned out as much as we had hoped. But at the same time, you got to kind of give a little bit of question of how much can one man do? And you can't hold one man hostage for the whole country, especially when most of the expenditures and the Federal Reserve and all that should be laid at the congressional feet. I mean, all spending bills start in the House. And so how much can one man do and how much can you lay on his shoulders? And I say, you know what? President Trump in many ways did a lot of good. And you know what? That disruptive status that Donald Trump put forth, even though he fell short in many, 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 many ways, has exposed a lot of government swamp mentality belligerence. The vote fraud being chief among them. The idea that we're going to call the president an insurrectionist while he's the president because he says, I want to look at vote fraud and get to the bottom of the truth. Meanwhile, we've seen Nancy Pelosi and Maxine Waters and some of these other extremists, Ocasio-Cortez, literally go psycho and literally call flat out for open violence. And you see the double standard in the media like you've never seen before. So Donald Trump has triggered a lot of people. Donald Trump has woke up a lot of people about how abusive the media is and really helped people understand, you know what are you fighting for? He said, we'll never be a socialist country. And Chris Carlson, you know, takes that to say, look how he's failed. We're a totally socialist country. That's true on one hand. On the other hand, the question is, was that Donald Trump's hope in the American people saying that we will step up and prevent it from becoming a socialist country? I don't know. I just know this. It should be a wake-up call to you and I and everyone else to say, you're right, Donald. We will never be a socialist country. It is time to stand, is the point. Anyway, incredible debate, but federal authorities even are still after Donald Trump, and they're after Rudy Giuliani, Trump's chief attorney. Federal authorities, for example, last week raided the Manhattan apartment of Rudy Giuliani amid a continuing investigation into Giuliani's involvement in the Ukraine. So let me get this right. We're not going to dig into Hunter Biden's Ukraine involvement or involvement in foreign affairs, but we're going to dig into Giuliani's. What's interesting to me is they complain about Biden, but nobody can investigate. But yet they could still investigate Trump, even though he's now just an average citizen and all of Trump's allies. See what I mean, folks? People are starting to realize our country's been absolutely taken over and controlled by whacked out extreme Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton, Barack Obama, Joe Biden crowd. And you know what? No matter what we do, we can't seem to get above that secret combination, huh? So beware in America, but also use this as a wake-up call to stand up and be counted among the patriots, would you please? What is the point of being a constitutionalist, Chris Carlson wisely asked, if we support politicians who are not? Brilliant question indeed. Second hour, we head on Dr. Scott Bradley. To preserve the nation is lifelong goal. He'll be on next hour as well. FreedomsRisingSun.com, his website. And we talked about a Cuban refugee. He says we've already digested the poison pill of communism. Not only have we swallowed it, but we've digested it. You could tell how much media hate this country, writes Art Moore, who highlighted this reality check. Who are we talking about? Former Cuban refugee Maximo Alvarez warned in a speech at the Republican National Convention last summer that many Americans have not only swallowed the poison pill of communism, but they've digested it. And Dr. Scott Bradley, well-known American historian, to say the least, doubles down on that point. We've rejected America, folks. But there's a video that Dr. Scott Bradley put together on his website, Fundamental Principles of Liberty and Proper Government, to help people get started. And what can we do to stop it? What can we do to change the game? There's a lot you can do, folks. Don't think that the fat lady's already sung or that it's over. Take courage in God Almighty and learn about it. FreedomsRisingSun.com. Check out the videos. They're tremendous. We also talked about Joe Biden declares January 6th attack, not 9/11, as the worst attack on democracy since the Civil War. Well, I got news for old whacked out Joe. We don't have a democracy, first off, my friend. So let's be very clear. Secondly, the January 6th issue was nothing compared to 9/11. Unless you're basically comparing them all, saying they were both government false flags attack, then I might start to agree. Maybe we ought to have real investigations into all these government-involved shenanigans and get to the bottom of it and have true transparency, huh, Joe? Just wondering. That's a recap of Friday's broadcast. On Saturday, we had an equally interesting broadcast. Two-hour Liberty Roundtable Live special guest, Dean Spencer, was with me. Meet Dean, ladies and gentlemen. Dean Spencer is a homeless American. America hears Dean's story. How did he get there? Could this be you? And Dean talks about really doing a great job. He's suffered. He's really struggled, Dean Spencer has. But did you know the number of homeless in the United States is estimated at over 500,000 people in 2019? Did you know in the state of Utah, January 19, Utah had an estimated 2,700 and growing population of homeless? There's a headline in WorldNet Daily. It says San Francisco's trifecta of residents who are homeless, psychotic, and addicted. It's so bad, where do social workers even start? Asks WorldNet Daily. We played the song Joe Nichols, If Nobody Believed in You. Second hour, the two-hour interview continued. It's May Day. That was May 1st. The broadcast on Saturday. We call May Day for the homeless. May Day is an international statement used by airline pilots, and it's an international distress call. We're calling that in behalf of the homeless right now. Brandon Heath, Give Me Your Eyes, we played that incredible song. We asked, what is the solution to America's homeless problem? And I believe it starts with the parable of the Good Samaritan, ladies and gentlemen. We can't depend on government to solve it all. We can't turn our backs and look at them and go, it's their own fault. They're just lazy. They're just a bunch of drug addicts or whatever. We also played the Black Eyed Peas, Where Is the Love, a very song-driven two-hour broadcast with Dean Spencer. We talked about the principles of faith, hope, and charity, the three theological virtues that define mankind's ideal relationship to God and should be our ideal relationship with one another. Very riveting broadcast with Dean Spencer. He talked about how he was doing well, made a lot of money, got married, life was great. He came from a farming background. He was a mechanic for a living, worked for Geneva Steel. All was really well. But then over time, the wheels just fell off of his life and he became homeless. Now he's living in a friend's garage, so he's starting to come back from that. And he really wants to educate people about We can have community farms. We can work together as a community. The government system is designed to make you fail. And believe it or not, I have had occasion to meet with some social workers, some probation officers, etc., and they tell me the system is broken and designed to make you fail as well. So Dean is not alone in that sad view. When will we change our system to not help people fail, but to encourage and advocate for and really set people up for success? How do we give people a hand up, not a hand out? How do we not have the government be their worst enemy? How do we help them get back on their feet? Dean Spencer believes community farms and working together and can make a big difference. We're going to follow Dean's case for the next several months, see how we can help, see how we can be involved, see how we can report on it, because this homeless issue is serious indeed and growing at an alarming rate in America. And when we have basically gutted the middle class, and we've created this COVID 10 times the fiasco that it should have been scenario, what do people do? How do we become our brother's keeper? How do we let our Christian morals lead out here? How do we be the good Samaritan and care for our neighbors and minister to others? And we got a lot of questions and very few answers. If you believe the stream press, and if you don't talk about God, but if you believe in God Almighty, and if you believe in the Christian principles that we all should live by, at baptism we promise to bear one another's burdens, you might get a new view, and then there becomes tremendous hope, faith, and we hope we all learn charity along the way. Quick pause. Lowell Nelson coming up straight ahead. You are listening to the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live radio program.
Hi, I'm Dave. I'm 7 years old. I'm sitting here in the corner having a time out until Mom comes to talk to me. All I did was cut my sister's hair. I was just trying to help. I guess Mom didn't like how I did it. In a minute, she'll be back and ask me if I know what I did was wrong. Maybe I shouldn't have cut her hair. And she'll say we all make mistakes because we're just learning about stuff. And she'll give me a hug and wind up talking about more stuff.
No matter what you talk to your kids about, love is what they'll hear.
I really like Mom's timeouts, and I think she likes them too. Yeah, I think they help her remember how much she loves me.
A thought from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Visit us at Mormon.org.
I reinstated a policy first put in place by President Ronald Reagan, the Mexico City policy. I strongly supported the House of Representatives' pain-capable bill, which would end painful late-term abortions nationwide. And I call upon the Senate to pass this important law and send it to my desk for signing. We are protecting the sanctity of life and the family as the foundation of our society. And most importantly of all, it is the gift of life itself. That is why we march. That is why we pray. And that is why we declare that America's future will be filled with goodness, peace, joy, dignity, and life for every child of God.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org. Welcome back, my good brother.
Good to be back, Sam. Thank you for having me.
Oh, man, there's so much to talk about. So little time. I'll tell you that right now. Now, there was an Utah Republican organizing convention that just took place on Saturday, right?
Yeah, it sure did, Sam. And I was there.
I heard
there.
It was a raucous experience, my brother.
A raucous at times, yes, it was. there were 2,145 delegates in attendance, so just over 2,100 out of about 4,000. I mean, not the total number of delegates that should have been there was 3,900 something, but we'll just round up to 4,000 and just say about half of the delegates that could have attended did attend, which was lower than the usual two-thirds at an organizing convention. Usually at the nominating conventions, it, you get 100% attendance, and at these organizing conventions, you get two-thirds attendance. Well, we got barely over half of our delegates attending. But
now, why do you think it was so far down? Because usually the delegates, one of the interesting things about the Utah delegate system, if you want to say it like that or whatever else, and you know, it's ultimate in representation, number one. But usually those people are the people that take the time, that vet the candidates, that understand really what's going on day to day, etc. Why would only half show up this time, you think? Any idea on that?
Yeah, two factors. One was that the COVID last year quashed any attempts to elect new delegates. So the delegates that were in place for this year were delegates that were elected way back in the springtime of 2018, right? Because we didn't have it in 2020 because of COVID. So the 2018 delegates, you know, shouldered that responsibility a second term in a row because no new delegates were elected. Now, of those delegates that were elected in 2018, you know, they were, you know, a lot of them were elected to get certain people into place. And whether if those people, whether they got elected or not, the delegates who were championing their cause, their candidacies, you know, they sort of went away because their job was done. They either failed or succeeded in getting their candidates into place.
Now, I want to stop you there, though, and say this is where I have a problem with our society.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We are manipulating reality according to the COVID, and we are doing things that violate, in my opinion, the proper role of limited constitutional government. Let me give you a couple of examples, and I don't mean to derail on this point, but I think it's really critical to understand. I've talked to stores about the coronavirus, for example, at Walmart shortened their hours for a while and stuff like that. And I said, you know, let me get this straight. You guys shortened your hours because of COVID, right? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, so listen, if you're open 10 to 10, I got 12 hours that people can stream in. So let's say that 1,000 people an hour go from 12 to 12, you got 12,000 people that enter your store. I'm making this really simple, right? But yeah. If I reduce the hours to 6 hours and those same people go through the store, you're forcing more people to be closer together and go at the same time, whereas they could spread out. So then you got 12,000 people going in 6 hours, not 12 hours, and you've got double the exposure per hour. How does that help with the COVID? And I finally pushed and pushed, and finally the person goes, well, we're doing it to save money.
Oh.
And I thought, okay, wait a minute now. Don't blame that on the COVID then. Don't lie to me, double expose me, and claim it's the COVID causing it. Don't do that. So the truth is, I get that they want to save money. I get that it's tumultuous times. I understand all that. But don't mix these two things together. All right, the next thing that I'll use as an example, because I just used a private sector business for the point. Now I'll use government. They're basically calling off and putting a halt to, you know, jury trials and trials. So the courts are all jacked down and nobody can get to court hardly. And it's tough to get a court date. When you do, people are like on Zoom going, can you hear me? Are you there? I can't see your screen. And okay, and so you got these problems with the court systems. And now you're telling me because of the COVID, not only did people not show up, which, you know, that's bad enough, but you're telling me that we're not even going to reelect new delegates like we normally do? We can't do that virtually or in some other manner? Or physically with social distancing or whatever else? They're taking advantage of this coronavirus, and this is why I'm so mad about it. Because they're doing things that are so nonsensical, it's beyond me. So we don't have any new delegates? And then what happens is half the delegates go, and then we're like, yeah, people aren't interested in government anymore. And then we're like, oh, they're doing everything to take our society down over this. Okay, and this is what I'm saying is that we have got to stop this, people. This is ridiculous. The courts aren't working, so you don't get a speedy trial. You don't get a trial of your peers, a jury trial anymore because of the COVID. You know, you got less delegates because of the COVID. People aren't reelected because of the COVID. We'll just suspend elections and suspend court dates and suspend. Why don't we suspend all these bureaucrats from making any laws? Why don't we suspend all the bureaucrats' paychecks then if it's because of the COVID? If we want to save money, by golly, just shutting off all the government paid check spigot ought to save a lot of money. Okay, so they're just playing games to the point of I can't take it anymore, lol.
Yeah. Well, those are some great observations, Sam. And you and I both know that the politicians, the bureaucrats are playing games with us in using COVID as an excuse. The policy response to this so-called pandemic was wrong from the very beginning, and it has hurt more people than it has helped, as we can see by the number of suicides and teen deaths and depression and alcoholic abuse, you know, and violence in the homes, you know, I mean, so many, many ill effects. So you can't even number the ill effects of the that came out of the misguided policy response to the so-called pandemic, you know. And of course, I don't really believe that the pandemic was a pandemic anyway. The same number of people died in 2020 as died in 2019. And so it's pretty hard to call something a pandemic when the same number of people are dying year after year. But yeah, you know, you're exactly right. This excuse, using COVID as an excuse for not electing new delegates in 2020, was you know, part of the problem. And the party, you know, fell for it. Maybe because that was the time. Right, it was in March. March 15th is basically when the country shut down, and we had our caucuses scheduled for the week after that, and so it was right at that time, and you know, it went haywire. But
meanwhile, only half the delegates were there, ladies and gentlemen. And when they were there, I guess Mitt Romney got booed when he took the stage. Now, why are we hearing from Mitt in the first place, Lowell?
Well, it's because the way they organized the convention, they had basically an hour of fluff, meaning, you know, the welcome, the county, you know, what they call the roll call for of each of the counties. We have 29 counties, and so they let each county give a hoop and a holler, you know, when they called their name to just recognize that they were present. And then they did a 30-second video clip on each of the counties to, you know, it's kind of cool to see the whole state that way, a video, a pictorial representation of each county. They did the national anthem, the presentation of the flags, the Pledge of Allegiance, all of that kind of stuff, okay? They did all, it took about an hour.
Yeah, so I call that the wave the flag hour.
Yep, that's that first hour. Then they get 2 hours, Sam, of speeches from current office holders, candidate speeches, and then followed that. And so, really,
and let me
no
stop you there for
done.
A minute. I don't want to hear from the current speech or the current office holders. I want them to hear from us, Lowell. When are they going to just listen to us? What they do is roll in and give these, you know, grandiose ivory tower speeches, and then they bail. What they need to do is sit down, mm-hmm. shut up, and listen up to us, we the people. Aren't we the ones that elected them? Why are we hearing from the employees all day long? I don't get it.
Well, you hit the nail on the head there. I mean, in fact, during the 10 o'clock hour, that first hour of fluff, we were you know, basically encouraged, scolded or encouraged, whichever word you want to use, to not waste time by, you know, bringing up frivolous rule change proposals and frivolous resolutions and wasting the time of the delegates with talking, talk about, you know, what should we, you know, conduct this item of business or that item of business. And then after that, getting scolded or encouraged not to waste time, then we were subjected to this 2 hours of speeches from our current public servants. So it was.
Now, could you imagine if you, as a bunch of employees, went into the bosses or the ownership of a company and said, listen to me, we're going to have a meeting, man, and I don't want you to waste any time telling us what you think. I don't want you to waste any mm-hmm. time telling us how your company works. You sit down and listen to us. Can you imagine that kind of a belligerence?
Yeah, it's hard to imagine that.
All right, quick pause. Yeah. When we come back, Lowell's going to tell you Mike Lee took the speech pulpit, if you will. So did Mitt Romney. Drastically different results, details, and seconds from Lowell Nelson, CampaignForLiberty.org on your radio.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
The United States will restrict travel from India beginning on Tuesday amid a surge of COVID cases in that country. India recorded 401,000 new infections on Saturday, the only nation to have recorded more than 400,000 in a single day. Officials reported about 3,500 deaths on Saturday, but many also say that deaths have been severely undercounted amid the surge. The White House has ordered entry restricted for all foreign nationals who have been in India in the last 2 weeks. The restrictions do not apply to U.S. citizens or permanent residents. And North Korea has responded to President Biden's address to a joint session of Congress earlier this week, saying the president made a big blunder. In the speech, Biden called the nuclear program of North Korea a serious threat to America's security. In a statement, a senior North Korean foreign ministry official said that the president revealed that his policy towards their country would be hostile and claimed that the U.S. would soon face a very grave situation. This is USA Radio News.
Hello, this is Wayne Alaroot for our newest sponsor, Asset Strategies, or ASI for short. ASI is a precious metals powerhouse. They sell gold and silver. Never in history has there been a more important moment to buy gold and silver. ASI has been in business for 39 years. They've served over 20,000 clients and sold $5 billion worth of gold, silver, and precious metals with zero complaints. Last year, gold saw gains of 25%. Silver nearly doubled gold's performance. Now Democrats are in charge. Green New Deal, open borders, free healthcare for illegals, bailout broke cities and states. The debt is about to go through the stratosphere. The time to buy is now. The owners of ASI, Michael and Rich Chekin, have been my close personal friends for 16 years. ASI is the company I trust when it comes to buying and selling precious metals. Call now to receive a free consultation and a free 1 ounce silver eagle with every qualifying purchase when you mention the Wayne Alaroot Show. Call 800-831-0007. That's 800-831-0007. Or visit assetstrategies.com.
As the U.S. begins bringing troops home from Afghanistan, Wendy King looks back at when it all began.
It's been 10 years since the leader of Al-Qaeda, Osama bin Laden, was killed in Pakistan.
We wanted to get bin Laden. I'm really happy we got bin Laden. We sent a message that no matter who you are, how tough you think you are, we have men and women who will go get you, and we did.
Robert O'Neill is the Navy SEAL who killed the terrorist in 2011, which was 10 years after the 9/11 attacks. In Afghanistan, the U.S. and NATO forces that still remain there have started leaving. President Biden has ordered them out of the country by September 11th. From the USA Radio News Pacific Northwest Bureau, I'm Wendy King.
And Medina Spirit has won the 147th running of the Kentucky Derby. With the win, trainer Bob Baffert becomes the winningest trainer in the Derby's history, notching his seventh victory. Jockey John Velasquez also won his fourth run for the Roses aboard Medina Spirit. Race favorite Essential Quality ended up fourth. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about last Saturday's Utah Republican Party organizing convention. You say, Sam, why on a worldwide show are you talking about Utah's convention? Because it was so interesting, number one. Because your state is probably very similar, number two. All right? So Mitt Romney spoke. Mike Lee spoke. The two senators from Utah. Very different results, huh, Lowell?
Yeah, that's right. And the third reason I wanted to talk about it, Sam, was because there were a lot of people around across the nation who wondered what in the heck is Utah doing, not censuring Mitt Romney, because they were in the last impeachment vote after President Trump left office. Remember, the U.S. House impeached him for that January 6th speech. Inciting a riot at the Capitol, so-called, and so they impeached the president, and then the Senate took a vote on that article of impeachment, and Chief Justice John Roberts didn't even dignify the event by attending and presiding, because he knew how unconstitutional the proceeding was. And nevertheless, Utah Senator Mitt Romney and there were six other senators voted to remove the president from office, even though he'd already left office by that point. And so it was just a circus, basically. And all the other six states, they censured their senator, and Utah never did. Utah never did censure Mitt Romney. Well, the delegates who attended the convention on Saturday, just 2 days ago, there in Utah, here, right here, they had a very obnoxious and detestable feeling about Mitt Romney. And so Mike Lee, when he stood up, boy, he received a thunderous applause. Man, he got up there and he almost couldn't start his speech because the applause was so loud and long and cheerful, and both before, during, and after his speech. I mean, he just got the biggest applause of anybody who spoke. Now, Mitt Romney, on the other hand, when Mitt stood up to speak, boy, did the boos come out. I mean, this is loud and raucous boos. And so the delegates gave Mitt Romney a very, very cold reception. In fact, there was 45 seconds of these boos where he couldn't even speak. He couldn't even speak over the loudness of the boos from the crowd on the loudspeaker system, in so much that the chair of the convention, Derek Brown, he walked forward and chastised the delegates and just said, please, you know, be quiet, you know, let's hear him speak. And that video of the boos went viral. There were numerous videos of that went viral. And the sad
part about this, Lowell, is there's a big historical reality that needs to be discussed here. The delegates rejected mm-hmm. Mitt Romney in the first place. And people always get a hold of me and say, mm-hmm. what is Utah doing? Why would you guys, such a conservative religious state, you know what, elect such a wacko carpetbagger extremist, you know, center or left, whatever you want to call it, senator? Why would you guys do that? And I responded and I said, I don't think the American people in Utah really did elect Mitt Romney. What happened was we had a caucus system and he got rejected there. But what they did is they worked on changing the laws and everything else prior to him coming as a carpetbagger and running. They let him get on the ballot with big money, circumventing the delegates, even though the delegates tried to shut him down. And the delegates got shanghaied and sidelined, and Mitt Romney became a senator. So now when he gets up and speaks as the employee that we didn't really want in the first place, and he wants to then talk to us, you know what? The people are going boo. It's the only way they have to register their displeasure. Lowell?
That's right, because we don't have a recall law here in Utah. We have to, you know, you have to embarrass a public office holder into leaving office, you know, resigning his office, or replace him at the next election. There's no recall law here.
Or both.
Both, uh-huh. And so the convention is the only opportunity for delegates to give that feedback. And it's a uniquely wonderful system of feedback. The office holders who are doing the bidding of the delegates, they get good applause and loud applause and respectful applause. But those office holders who are abusing the office, they're not treated kindly by the delegates, and it's an excellent feedback loop, which I'm very supportive of that type of feedback. The delegate system here in Utah used to be very strong, very vibrant, because the only way a candidate could get elected would be through the support of the delegates. Well, that 2014 law called SB 54, which enabled a signature gathering candidate to get on the ballot for the party, allowed rich and famous politicians like Mitt Romney to bypass the delegates. And that's why the delegates were so angry about, because Mitt Romney got elected despite the delegate opposition. In fact, he lost at convention. I don't know if our listeners know that, but
yeah, and that's why I'm highlighting this. The delegates have no other way mm-hmm. to register their displeasure. This is something that bureaucrats and the Republican Party and everybody else needs to hear me clearly. There are no ways for us, we the people, and or our delegates to register their displeasure. You can't do it in the media because the media is so fawning over Romney. You can't do it at the delegation because you get shut down and circumvented as they change the law. There's no other way for people to register their displeasure. And so it's going to come out in some way or another. And you're lucky it's only booze. Not that I'm advocating for more drastic action. I'm just telling you, though, that when you do this to the people, their frustration boils over. Okay, where's the feedback loop? And the only answer that I have is I'm not really fond of booing people on the stage because I think it's classless. But I also think it may be necessary in this situation because there's no other choice they've given us. What we need to do, though, is with a resounding defeat, we need to reject him at the next election. The problem is, without being able to tell the tale in the media, most people, like the delegates, don't realize how abusive it is. And the way you know is by looking at his voting record. Lol.
Yes, the New American Magazine produces what they call the Freedom Index 4 times a year by evaluating 10 votes in the U.S. Senate and 10 votes in the U.S. House, and they look at those 10 votes that were taken, and the New American Magazine decides whether that was a constitutional measure or not. And if it was a constitutional measure, then the congressman's vote is counted as a plus, and if the congressman votes against the constitutional measure, it's counted as a minus against the member of Congress. Now, most of the votes in Congress are not constitutional, and so usually when a senator or a representative votes for a bill, that turns out to be a minus on the Freedom Index. Well, there's no better index, by the way, Sam. The New American Magazine Freedom Index is probably the best in the land. And it turns out that Senator Mike Lee has a lifetime score of 93% on the Freedom Index, meaning that his votes are aligned with the Constitution 93% of the time. That's a very, very high score on the Freedom Index. You know, people like Ron Paul and Larry McDonald of Georgia in the early 70s and early 80s are two of the people who might have had a higher score than 93%. And that's compared with the score of 27% of Senator Mitt Romney, lifetime score. So he votes with the Constitution only 25% of the time. A quarter of the time, Romney votes with the Constitution. 75% of the time, he is not. Does not have fidelity with the U.S. Constitution. So,
and the American people in Utah, are not fond of and are not happy with the carpetbagger Mitt Romney for coming to our state, for getting such a low score, for misrepresenting who we are as a people. People are not happy about that. But what can they do about it when you can use big money and your connections with all kinds of people, because he ran the Olympics here and got a big old kudos for that. That's a whole nother historical. Okay, this guy, they have set the stage for this to happen. And by hook or by crook, be darned the people, they're going to make him the senator. That's really what went on here. And people need to understand that clearly. Because
yeah,
I'm telling
great
you,
observation,
if you had an
man.
Open discussion in the media where they were literally fair and real open debates and everything else, Mitt Romney would not have won. The delegates are proof. And all we got to do is educate the people and let them know what's really going on, and they'll feel the same way. But when they don't get that opportunity, you know, he kind of, has this, what do you want to call it, almost rock star holier-than-thou record of, oh my gosh, Mitt's a good guy. He turned around the Olympics. He did a phenomenal job. He did a great job in Massachusetts. He was a governor. I mean, this guy's got credentials, baby. He's a businessman. Wow, I like this guy. Boom, ba-da-bom-ba-boom, done. But when people really hear the truth about his record is... I mean, it really borders on betrayal status. Lol.
It's abysmal. Yeah, it's abysmal record. And we just need to get the word out. And we're trying to get the word out, of course, by passing a resolution of censure there at the convention. And that failed by just about 80 votes. That was evenly divided, Sam. But by that point, that was the very last thing of the convention. That resolution failed by 80 votes, Sam.
I'll make one more point on that after the break. Then we'll move on. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman, Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org. So Mitt Romney's voting record's dismal, to say the least. I want to say one more thing about this. You know what lost this vote to censure Mitt Romney in the delegation last Saturday, 2 days ago, by 80 votes? It was about 50-50. The reality check here, ladies and gentlemen, is I highlighted, why did only half of the delegates go? And the answer is because the COCO literally suspended the election of new delegates. And a lot of the new delegates would have been for censuring Romney because they're caught up on what's going on. A lot of the old delegates who had different agendas, many of them might have been some of the people even that were backing Romney. Who knows? But these people basically, in my opinion, the 2,000 that went were more likely to back a Romney than, say, the new, or than the 2,000 that didn't go and the new delegates that might have been there. In other words, that almost played into the hands of that vote losing as a precursor, because not enough people are involved in the proper role of government. We must jealously guard our republic or we're going to lose it, people. And this is what I'm telling you. The current delegates that didn't show up would have been more likely to probably reject Romney, and the new delegates that would have been elected had we had real replacement of the delegates as, in my opinion, the proper role of government calls for, we would have had a change. So I think that all stars aligned again against we the people. Lowell?
Yeah, that's a great point, Sam. Remember, in 2018, that was the year that Senator Mitt Romney got elected. He lost that convention, but because of the signature law in Utah, he was able to get onto the primary ballot by gathering signatures, spending money and gathering signatures. And so the crop of delegates that were elected in 2018 were very thick with Romney supporters, because he got out and beat the Bushes and got a lot of people to run and support him as delegates. And even then, he didn't get enough of them. But it was that crop of delegates that has been held over and went to the convention just 2 days ago here in Utah. So you're spot on when you say that this crop of delegates was biased for or in favor of Mitt Romney. And even then, you know, that resolution to censure him failed by only about 80 votes. Very, very close. In fact, they front-loaded the convention with all those speakers to wear down the delegates so that, you know, there's about 1,500 votes cast out of that 2,100 who are credentialed to attend. But by 2 or 3 o'clock, which is when we took up that resolution, the very last item on the agenda, there had already left. 300 or 400 or 500 of the delegates had already left. And so you can just tell that they strategically placed that resolution as the very last item of the agenda, on the agenda, so that in hopes that enough people would leave so that they would not be able to even consider it. Because
Robert Higgs,
you lose half of the delegates, once you lose half the delegates from the convention, you cannot consider any business, and so they would have adjourned the convention even without having considered the resolution. I believe that was their end game, but fortunately, enough delegates stayed around for it to consider the resolution, and even though it failed to pass, it is absolutely true that Mitt Romney got the message from the delegates that they were displeased with the job he's doing in the U.S. Senate.
Yeah, but he doesn't care because he answers to the big funders and the big business and the people that put him there, his unique connections in the state of Utah. He answers to the deep state, ladies and gentlemen, and he doesn't care. You got that? Yep. So the only chance we have left is to remove him from office by our greater numbers. And the only way that happens is through education, ladies and gentlemen. Let's be very clear. Thus, Liberty Roundtable Live and many other wonderful people doing similar things to help educate the American people. All right, 12 myths fueling government overreach in times of crisis. Robert Higgs writes the piece, a great piece that kind of backs this very point too, lol.
It sure does. I couldn't believe it as I read through this article by Robert Higgs, posted at lourockwell.com. He identifies a dozen myths, M-Y-T-H-S, myths, right, myth plural, that fuel government overreach. And the reason I was amazed at this article is because it was just every single reason or every single myth that Robert Higgs identifies has been employed, it seems like, with the COVID-19 so-called crisis. And so this is an evergreen topic, and so it's worth talking about. He starts out by saying, by writing this, he says, any government policymaking on an important matter entails serious risks, but crisis policymaking stands apart from the more deliberate process because formal institutional changes have a strong tendency to become entrenched. Remaining in effect for many years and sometimes for many decades, crisis policymaking has played an important part in generating long-term growth of government through a ratchet effect in which temporary, so-called temporary emergency measures have expanded the government's size, scope, or power. It therefore behooves us to recognize the typical presumptions that give crisis policymaking its potency. End of quote. And so, yeah, he is spot on. So as we walk through these myths, let's try to recognize the what happened with COVID-19. So myth number one, Sam, nothing like the present situation has ever happened. In other words, fear is a great motivator. In fact, bad government comes out of fear. And so proponents of expanding government have an incentive to represent the current situation as unprecedented and therefore as uniquely menacing unless the government steps in to save the day. So what happened with COVID-19? Well, big medicine claimed it had never happened before.
Yeah, we're in uncharted territory, thus we need uncharted action.
That's right. The truth of the matter, Sam, is that coronaviruses are very common, right? 25% of all common colds are caused by coronaviruses. They're very, very common. It's also a fact that the human body is uniquely capable of defending itself against coronaviruses of all kinds. Well, Big Pharma doesn't want you to realize that, of course, because they have a monetary interest in the COVID-19 propaganda. They want a revenue stream that goes from your pocketbook to their bottom line. So they're not going to talk about the blessing of the immune system of the body. They're not going to talk about natural remedies that are inexpensive by which you can beat the COVID-19 virus. They're not going to talk about any of that.
They're not going to talk about 99.5% of people on the average don't die at all, even with nothing done. I mean, let's just keep going on, right? So there's one of them, though. Hey, we're in uncharted territory. We have to. Number two.
Number two, unless the government intervenes, the situation will get worse and worse, Sam.
Why do we always have to look to government for solutions is the point. Why? We don't.
Well, yeah, you're right. In fact, Sam, all the good solutions come from the private sector anyway, from individuals, not from government. Okay, number three, we'll move along. But in fact, I'll give the myth, Sam, and you give me the illustration of the myth because of COVID-19.
Yeah, I'll highlight the disingenuousness of it.
Okay. Today, it's all important. We have to act immediately, Sam, to beat this thing. We got to act now.
They always use this unprecedented immediacy to sell the lie. Because if they wait a little bit of time and people get their feet under them, they'll make wise decisions that will reduce the involvement of government, not increase it. So they can't let a crisis, a great opportunity, go to waste to expand government. They got to act now so you don't have the chance to react. It's like in a boxing game or a boxing match. If I punch you hard while you're staggering, is the time to hit again quick. If I wait and you get your feet under you again, I might be in trouble as you fight back hard. Okay, that's what's going on here, folks. Next.
Myth number four, government officials, they know, or they can quickly discover how to remedy the problem.
When we think government always knows, we're wrong 90% of the time. The people know, the great genius of America knows, but bureaucrats and professional do-gooders 99% don't know. Furthermore, they have a motive agenda that derails the truth. That's why we need to prevent them from stepping into the gap so quickly. Lol.
Number five is we may safely rely on the establishment and on the government and on its insiders for expertise in this crisis.
They have too many connections to get them reelected. They have too many backers, secret donors, and more. We cannot trust them. Reagan said, trust but verify. Dr. Scott Bradley says, hey, I'm not going to trust, but I will verify. Sad tale for the deep swamp, but answers it correctly nevertheless. Lol.
Number six, we can trust government to act responsibly and effectively on the basis of the expertise they command.
And when have we seen the government act responsibly? I mean, these people are, what, $30 trillion in debt? If you count unfunded liabilities, it's over $130 trillion in debt. Their responsibility, credibility is out the window. Get used to it and step up to the plate, my fellow Americans, and do it now. Next.
Number seven, the clear benefits of quick government action may be assumed to outweigh its costs and its actual or potential negative consequences.
Historical track record proves that to be 1,000% false. When left to the American people is when we have success. And whenever government gets in the middle, it costs too much money and takes away too much liberty. And their track record proves my point. I need not say more.
Myth number eight. Well, fact-finding, deliberation, study, and debate are too time-consuming and must be foregone in favor of immediate action, Sam.
And that's the other side of the coin from our earlier one, that government has to do something immediately, we better seize the day. This one is again, the opposite side of the line. We don't have time to do our due diligence. We always have time to do our due diligence. When they want to sell you something and they say you got to buy it within an hour or the special goes away, run for the hills. Whenever they put that kind of time pressure on you, you know they have a sinister agenda in mind. Because otherwise, why would they worry about you getting your ducks in a row and being comfortable and confident about the solution or the action about to be taken? Because they know if you get time, you probably won't take the action they want you to take. It's the other side of the coin, lol.
Yes, you're exactly right. Myth number nine, existing structures, companies, and incumbent firms, they got to be preserved. New structures and firms are unthinkable. We got to, the crony capitalists, right? We got to use the existing firms to solve this problem.
And this is government lying to you. The free market, the free enterprise system has this ability to jettison bad actors and bring on success and building a better mousetrap to your door is kind of the idea here. The market has the ability to kind of rewash, re-rinse itself. Self-cleaning mechanisms, and the government circumvents that process. And that's why we have bad actors over and over and over and over, because the government is preserving and protecting, creating winners and losers in the marketplace. Let the system work and get out of the way is what free market folks, including Sam Bushman, would say.
One more myth, Sam, number 10. We won't hit 11 and 12, but 10 is important. If a policy is not getting the results that its proponents promise, then you got to pour more money into it until it finally works.
What you got to do is you got to jettison it and say that it doesn't work. Be honest with yourself, not dishonest. And that's why politicians have lost their credibility. Their only answer is to throw more money at it, because with our fake money system, that's what they've got at their disposal. Chain them down with the Constitution. Return to honest money. And when they don't have money to throw at it, we can look at other solutions. Engaging the broad genius of the American people would be where I would start. Lowell, thank you so much, sir. Godspeed. We missed one of your stories and two of the line items. We'll get to them soon, my friend. Thank you so much.
You're awesome, Sam. Thank you.
Hour one in the can, hour two coming up. Dr. Scott Bradley with us. God save the Republic.